Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, November 10th. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, and coming up, we'll hear from a local veteran how her military service and the injuries she got while serving in Iraq affected her and her family. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. President Joe Biden made a stop in the northern Illinois city of Belvidere yesterday to meet with workers who are celebrating the reopening of an idled assembly plant. Belvidere is home to a Stellantis auto plant that produced Jeep Cherokee vehicles. The Chrysler parent company paused production at the plant in February, laying off over 1,000 workers. UAW and Stellantis reached a tentative deal reopening the Belvidere plant, bringing back the workers, giving them a 25% pay increase, and adding over 1,000 jobs at a new battery plant. Biden told the workers that they will be treated fairly with the new deal.
And I want to thank you for your commitment to the solidarity for exercising your right to bargain collectively. You made this happen. And by the way, it's a bigger thing, I think, even y'all realize. You're changing the face of the country economically.
The president was joined by UAW President Sean Fain and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. The governor thanked the president for lifting up the workers in Belvidere, calling them the bedrock foundation of the state. Illinois lawmakers have passed a measure that they hope will sharply reduce delays in getting licenses for doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The bill allows the state agency that oversees licensing to quickly replace its 1990s-era software. It also extends deadlines so licenses don't expire because of department backlogs. Republican State Representative Bill Howder of Morton, who is also a doctor, says months-long delays have put even more strain on an already overwhelmed healthcare system.
Patients are going without care. They're delaying care. They are leaving the state because simply doctors, nurses, APNs, PAs, pharmacists, dentists, respiratory therapists, et cetera, are unable to renew or get temporary licenses in a timely manner.
The bill now heads to the governor for his signature. Rantoul police have shot and killed two people this year in separate incidents, 21-year-old Azan Lee and 18-year-old Jordan Richardson. New documents obtained by IPM News and the Invisible Institute show an internal investigation cleared the officers who pulled the trigger in both incidents and found one officer violated police policy. Illinois Student Newsroom's Farah Anderson reports.
The review board found Officer Renee Whistle violated policy by using excessive force and profanity when arresting the driver, who was in the car with Jordan Richardson before he died. The fatal police shootings have led to public outcry.
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
Last week, protesters outside the Champaign County Courthouse demanded an independent investigation. Here's organizer and Rantoul resident Jade Ray.
If you're going to be the leaders of our community to protect and serve, how can we trust you when you're not even holding ourselves accountable?
A Rantoul police spokesperson says the department continues to meet all state mandates for ongoing officer training. I'm Farah Anderson, Illinois Student Newsroom.
This story was produced in partnership with the Invisible Institute. The Fighting Illini men's basketball team plays tonight at home against the Oakland Golden Grizzlies at 7 p.m. IPM News reporter Colin Highslope has more.
The Fighting Illini are coming off a 28-point win earlier this week against Eastern Illinois that started them off 1-0. Oakland started off their season by narrowly losing to Ohio State by 6 points on Monday. Head coach Brad Underwood spoke earlier this week about Oakland.
Get one of the premier offensive teams in college basketball coming in here tomorrow. There'll be a different look. This is an old veteran team.
Illinois has not played Oakland since 2010 and holds a 3-0 all-time record against the Golden Grizzlies. I'm Colin Highslope, IPM News.
Coming up, we'll hear from a local veteran about how her service impacted her family. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
The heroes of Royal Flying Doctor Service return to confront their most high-stakes trials yet in Season 2. This series is based on real-life events, and it's set in the Australian outback. It's an action-packed drama full of incredible heroism and bravery. Friends of WILL can stream the Royal Flying Doctor Service Season 2 beginning November 23rd, ahead of its scheduled television debut. Find out how you can enjoy early access to some of PBS's most captivating shows by visiting will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Tomorrow is Veterans Day, when Americans remember the people who put their lives on the line. Cheryl Walker of Urbana is commander of the American Legion District 19. In 2004, Cheryl was a member of the Illinois Army National Guard and deployed to Iraq when she was seriously injured in a mortar attack. Her military service and her injuries had a profound effect on her and her family. Recently, we asked her son Jay, now 33 years old, to interview his mother Cheryl about that time in their family's life.
What was like the actual timeline?
April of 2004, when I went in for Knox, and they told me I had 24 hours to report to the unit, Parish unit. Mm-hmm. And that's when I ended up going with them to Iraq. It was less than 24 hours before I was injured. And I heard the whistle of the missile coming in. And I knew what it was because I had, that was the only training I had volunteered for. And so when I heard it, I knew what to do. They just started coming in. And so, yeah, it was.
So what's the procedure when a missile comes in?
You know, there's a siren that goes off. It's like an air horn siren. That's why I don't like that noise today.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to try to make yourself as small as possible. And
almost like a tornado drill.
Yeah. So I just followed the procedure, just remember my training. And I got small. And so then 6 rounds came in, and the concussion of the bomb was just lifting me up and slamming my face into the concrete. And I was more concerned about like my face and losing my teeth and stuff, and I was holding on to my weapon. And so then when I came to, the back of my head was burning, and that's where I had got hit.
Yeah.
And I didn't really like realize, like I knew like I had been hit because I could feel the sting, and the back of my collar was wet, and that was where it was bleeding. Mm-hmm. And so then I was just shouting and asking for accountability for the people who I had seen last, and was mm-hmm. asking if they were all right. Sergeant Phibbs didn't sound off, so I started low crawling to where he was at, where I last saw him, to check on him. And
so you didn't realize, well, you knew you were hurt, but you didn't know
I didn't know the extent. Yeah, and I think it's just the adrenaline that kicks in, and you just, yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know. I couldn't think of anything. Like, at the time, like, I never carried any pictures of my family or anything like that, but I could tell you what anybody who's on my team, like, what their weapon number was, what their blood type was, and things like that. I honestly didn't even remember I had kids until, like, when I was being stitched up.
I remember finding out the news that you had been injured. It was probably one of the most difficult days I've probably experienced. I was at the middle school. The principal came to the class, and it was super strange to me. The principal put me in her car, and we rushed to the elementary school. And then when we got there, it's like they told all of us at once. I don't know if Dad knew. We didn't know, you know, what your status was. And then when we finally found out, I do remember, you know, the feeling of relief. But I do know there was still, even after we found out that you were okay, I do know I didn't have the best understanding as to the extent of your injuries and how difficult of a road to recovery you had ahead of you.
I was, you know, one of the lucky ones. I had a family and a husband who had been in combat, who understood. I had you and Tiffany, who helped me a great deal. You know, you helped me reading, helped me to learn, you know, how to read again, how to do math. You know, I had a great support system at home. And so if it had not been for you guys, I really don't know what my life would look like today. If I had to do anything over, I would not go into the military having children. I saw how it affected you guys, and that's time that you can't make up. We appreciate the fact that our friends stepped up and people, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've always been a family who kept to ourselves.
We were always very private.
And in the moment when you didn't ask for help and people came. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and
when
so
it came
being
to...
in Urbana, people came and they saw where you needed any help.
Yeah, people started bringing food and
they braided Tiffany's hair.
Taking Tiffany to get her hair done and stuff like that.
They felt a void where it was needed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that is why I am the way that I am with my kids now. It's just like I don't like being separated from them for too long. You know what I'm saying? It really bothers me. Like when I travel and stuff, like my main thought is just coming back home. And I think it has to do with, you know, going through that time where we didn't have you. Just because I know how important it is to have both parents, you know, be a factor.
I just wanted to say, you know, Jay, I'm proud of you, of the man that you've become. You're a great son. You're a wonderful father. And, you know, I'm a mother and I am a wife, a sister, an aunt. You know, I wear many hats, but I think of all the things that I've done in my life, being your mother and Tiffany's mother is the most important and thing that I've ever done, you know. And if the sun didn't come up tomorrow for me, that's the most important thing that I wanted, you know, I would want to be remembered by.
That was mother and Iraqi war veteran Cheryl Walker of Urbana being interviewed by her son, Jay Walker. Cheryl was awarded a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star for serving in Iraq. For more of Jay and Cheryl's conversation, including a story about how Jay disliked dogs but grew up to love his mother's service dog, go to ipmnewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 55 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Peter Medlin, Alex Degman, Farah Anderson, Colin Highslope, and Kimberly Chronic. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.